Today's daf is Psachim daf Nun Zayin. The shir left off on Nun Vav Amid Beis, the two dots, around 7-8 lines up at the bottom of the page. Right before the lines get wide, so the Naisnim Peya Liyerek. Naisnim Peya Liyerek, around 7 lines up on 56B Nun Vav Amid Beis. Shkoyach for the Reb Leon and Reb Mati, who gave the morning a night daf in my absence. Of course, we're still learning for Fush Leim of my father, Tzviari Ben Chana. And it's a short daf today, shorter daf, because it's really only one Amud, Amud Aleph, and a little bit Amud Beis. And you'll see when we get there, Amud Beis, the rest of it, the majority of Amud Beis, is actually a Kitzur Halachas of the next 40 blot. There's a Kitzur Halachas, you can look at it now already, of the next 40 blot, which is the 40 blot regarding the Karban Pesach and Dinam of Kachim in general, Karban Pesach specifically. It's interesting. Primarily focused, the Kitzur Halachas is focused mainly on Karban Pesach, but very interesting Kitzur Halachas. Almost something that we should probably learn more so when we finish the 40 blot, but if someone has time to look at it prior to us starting tomorrow night, the new Perek, the fifth Perek, it's good to take a look at it. It's not a very difficult read, but it's a bit lengthy. That encompasses most of today's Amud Beis. So today's shir, it only really has Amud Aleph, and therefore will be a shorter shir. So let's pick it up from, we were talking about the different anhugas of the people of Yerichai. They did six things, three of them their Rabbanan were okay with, three they weren't okay with, according to one version of the Gemara. Their Rabbanan weren't okay with, but they didn't necessarily make a macha. According to another version of the Gemara, they actually were upset about it, and they made a macha. But either way, one of the things they did, which the Chamim did not like, was they took peya on Yerek. They took peya on vegetables. Now, what was the issue of taking peya on vegetables? The issue of taking peya on vegetables is that if it's not, meaning we're going to bring a proof from a Mishnah in peya, the first parak of peya, that vegetables are not mechuyev in peya. Okay, so they took extra peya, no, gevaldik, they gave extra food to the aniyim. What's the issue? The issue is, Rashi earlier explained in the Mishnah that when you take peya on something which is not chayev peya, so really you left with tevel. Because all grains are subject to trumas and maestras. They have the trumas and maestras. When you take peya, peya is exempt from maestra. Peya is like almost like a form of hefker. Peya is exempt from maestra. So since peya is exempt from maestra, you're going to take peya. If it's mechuyev in peya, gevaldik, you give it to the aniyim and everything's good. But if it's mechuyev in maestra, then you separate it from the aniyim. No one's going to take maestra because they're viewing it as peya, but it's still mechuyev in maestra, and you're left now with the aniyim getting untithed peya, produce that's tevel, and that's a very big problem. That is what Rashi learned in the Mishnah. Let's go to the Gemara. Rashi in the Gemara today, and today's daf is actually going to address a second separate issue, but and we'll speak it out as we get there, and the Farshim Magen actually discuss a little bit, briefly, they point out that it's funny Rashi switched the issues, the Chayra. This itself is really a very understandable issue that the Rabbanan had, that you're messing up, the peya is tevel. Let's see. So, v'naisim peri li'erek, we said the people of Yericho would give peya. They will leave pay in the field for vegetables. The last little Anshi Richai, Hadathan asked the Gemara, do the Anshi Richai not hold this, we're right by where the lines get wide at the bottom of the page of Nun Vav Amez. Did not hold of this that we learned the Mishnah in the beginning of Peya, fourth Mishnah of the Masechta. Kalamar Peya, they said a Klav Peya, a bunch of guidelines as to what's Chayv in Peya and what's not. And here are the guidelines, one of them will be relevant to exclude vegetables. Number one, Kosho Eichel Vinishmer. It's got to be a food, number one. Number two, it's got to be protected, meaning it can't be Hefker. Number three, Gidul Menar, it's got to grow from the ground. Number four, l'kitasik achas, as opposed to, we'll see, not grow from the air like pichios, like fungi, mushrooms, and the like. Those are not going to be evident in peya. And that's number three, again, gedulim and arutz. Number four was l'kitasik achas. They become ripe at once. They don't become, it's not scattered when they become ripe. They become ripe all at once. And number five is umachnis l'kiyim, and you put it into storage for long lasting, meaning like grains, legumes, you can put it in the storage and last for a long time. Whereas vegetables, that's the key one. The last one is what we need for our purposes. Vegetables do not last. You stick vegetables away for too long in storage, it's going to start to like just melt and leak and become spoiled. It becomes disgusting. So we know you have to have these five criteria in order to be chayv and peya. And the fifth one, which is machnis lekiyim, excludes vegetables. The Gemara doesn't know through now what all these criteria are excluding. But that's our question will be for the fifth one. When it says what, that which is a food comes to exclude the aftergrowth of the safflower and woad, the certain types of grains, I think. But the point is that the Mefarshim point out that these things themselves are edible, but they're considered food. But the aftergrowth, like the svichim, the aftergrowth that are not real classic food, that which is left over, that grows from the extra seeds or that which falls on the ground, that is not really considered fit for consumption, and that's not considered chayiv and peya. The regular would be. Okay, vinishmer, that which is protected. Prat lefker comes to exclude hefker, it's pater from peya. Fingzul menorot, prat lekaman pitcher is, that grows from the ground, to the exclusion of mushrooms and truffles, they grow from the air. They grow from the airspace. They don't really grow out of the ground sometimes, but they're not really going from the ground. Right? Sometimes you'll see they grow on the side of a tree. They don't grow mamash on the ground itself. Ulikitas gachas, prat letainim. And you can gather them at once. That comes to exclude figs. Figs, they become ripe at different intervals. The first point out, lav dafka figs, there are many things that don't become ripe at once, and therefore they would be exempt from peya. Figs is just a spitz example of something which clearly scattered. When it becomes ripe, all the figs have their own, they become ripe at their own time. It's not one general season where they become ripe, one general time period, and therefore figs are excluded. But enechlami, who had done anything like figs? And lastly, the point that we need, erek, it has to be something which is put into storage and it can last, to the exclusion of vegetables that don't last. So the Mishnah L'chari excludes peya pretty clearly. Why on earth were the people of Yerichai taking peya on vegetables if the Mishnah excluded it? Amar Vida Marav, we're talking about the heads of lefes, of turnips. We're talking about the heads of turnips, where as follows. We said, there has to be something which lasts. Those don't last. They spoil. Put some lettuce or heads of turnips in storage. They're also going to spoil. However, you know what you could do? You could pickle them. It was common to pickle them. And when you pickle things, that makes them last longer. Is that enough to make it fit or not? Says Gemara, U'machnis l'kim ayde davar acher, kamifukli. And b'chalikis is something which is able to last. Ayde davar acher, through means of an aid, is that called machis lakim? Mar sam machis lakim, I did a vachar, shmekim. Mar holds, mar in this context means the people of Yerichai, they held something which can last with the davracher, with pickling, is considered as kiyam, and therefore it's chayiv and peya, and it fits the criteria of the Mishnah and peya. Umar sabr leish mekiyam, no, that's not called kiyam, in itself there's enough kiyam. When you pickle it, and so you have another eight over there, that's not mamish, the classic vegetable itself begins being considered that it lasts, and therefore it's not chayiv and peya. So that was the chilv yidar abadon, and the people of Yerichai. Okay, another brisa on this topic again of taking peya from the vegetables. So I think initially, and once we on this topic of Rishaynas, it's actually going to carry us into some other topics related to kachem. Really, not peya. Peya is trumas and maestras and the like. We're going to veer a little bit from there into Barishaina's Lagabi the Beis HaMikdash, and then from there it's almost in Agata. I want to call quite Agata, but almost in Agata Gemara about the four things that the Azara cries out about related to the Beis HaMikdash. It will maybe tie back and drop to this, but it's almost like an Agata to end the parak. Let's see. So initially they would take peya from these types of vegetables, namely lefes, that's turnips we just discussed, and lekrov. Now we're talking about whom? The people of Yerichai. We're still talking about the people of Yerichai. Barishaina, the people of Yerichai, would take peya for lefes, that's the turnips we just discussed in the last Gemara, lekrov. And for also krov, of course, is cabbage. That's the Tanakama. Rabbi Yamer, aflakafot, also for leek. So now, on a face value, Rabbi is coming to add a third case. He's agreeing to turnips and cabbage for the people of Yerichai, and he's adding for them also leeks. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. V'tanidach. Then we have another braisa. Hayinaisim, the peya, the lefes. Initially, the people of Yerichai would take peya for lefes, again for turnips, for lakafot, and for leeks. So according to this version, Tanakama is sticking in leeks. And again, turnips, but he left out cabbage. And Rav Shimon Eimer, Afal Kruv, Rav Shimon came and added Kruv. So at the very simple reading of this Brisa, it would seem like you have Rav Yasi and Rav Shimon saying the same thing. They each happen to be adding a different element, because based on what the Tanakhama says. But the Tanakhama said two items, and they added the third. In the first Brisa, the Tanakhama said that the people of Yerichai took peya on lefes, turnips, and and cabbage, and Rav Yasi added also leeks. In the second Brisa, Tanakhama said leeks and turnips, and Rav Shimon added also cabbage. But both of Shimon and Rabbi Yasi hold all three were included in the mitzvah of peya in Yerichai. They took peya on all three, cabbage, leek, and turnips. That's a simple way of reading the Braisa, which, so if to break it down further, would come out that we have three shitas. We have Rabbi Yasi and Rabbi Shimon, they hold all three, it's one shita. We have a Tanakama of the first Braisa, Rabbi Yasi, who says, Davka, turnips, and cabbage, not leek. And we have the Tanakama of the second Braisa, which says, Davka, turnips, and leek, and not cabbage. Sorry, and we have the Tanakama of the second Braisa who says, Dafka leek and turnip and not cabbage. So that would be three shitas. And the Gemara Taka makes that assumption, top of Nun Zayim and Aleph. Says the Gemara, Nema Klasa Tanayavi. Let us say that there's three Tanam over here. Rav Shimon and Rav Yasi has one, and the two Tanakamas are two and three. Says Gemara, Loi. We can make it even two Tanayim here. How's that fit? Trey Tanayavi. There's two total Tanayim here. Tanakama de Rav Shimon and Rav Yasi. Tanakama de Rav Yasi and Rav Shimon. There's only two Tanayim here. There's Rav Yasi and Rav Shimon. The Tanakama of Rav Yasi's Braisa was Rav Shimon. And Rav Shimon Taka holds cabbage is included. Tanakama of Rav Shimon's Braisa is Rav Yasi, who holds that who holds that leek is included. That's Tadakama of Shimon's Brisa. I lechur loshen af is mashba the base was adding to the Tadakama third, and Rabbi Shimon is adding to Tadakama third. No, you have to say that as af just was af the people of Yichai took on this, but not necessarily agreeing to the first two, as the Tadakama spoke out a little bit of a chiddush in the way to read the Brisa. Says the more inside. Tanakama de Rabbeisi is Rabbi Shimon. Tanakama of Rabbi Shimon is Rabbeisi. Umay Af. How do you have to interpret the word Af? Akamaisa. Af is going that on the first item mentioned, meaning you said this. I'm saying also that. Not that I agree with everything you said, but I'm saying also this is what the Yerichai took Meiser, took Peah on. And therefore, you can theoretically learn the two Brises are really only the same two Tanayim, just going on, focusing on different elements. It's Rabbeisi and Rabbi Shimon. Those are the two authors of both of the Brises. Tanar Abanan, another Brise on this topic, we'll speak out a little more, and then we really switch topics a little bit, but again, it relates to this Barishaina. Tanar Abanan, Ben Bayan Nasan Peya Lierik. The son of Bayan, this is apparently this famous guy, Bayan, we'll see in a moment, very generous guy. His son gave peah from vegetables to the aniyim. Ubava matzim laniyim shutun yerek. And when Bayan came home, he saw the aniyim leaving his house carrying lots of vegetables, which he didn't like as peah. Va'im din al pesachim, they're at the gate of the garden about to leave. Amalem, he said, Banai, my tired children, hishlichu malechem vani neislechem keflaim usur. Please leave the peah that you were given, and I'll give you back double from that which Meiser was already taken. I have tithe produce. I'll give you back double from that which Meiser was already taken. Meaning, let me take from other stuff. This really gets to the point we spoke about before. And the issue of peah from vegetables, even if you're not mechuyev, the issue of taking it is because very nice to give you extra money to aniyim, but what you're also doing is you're taking this stuff which is not, if it's not really mechuyev and peah, it is mechuyev and meiser. And it comes out that meiser wasn't, we know peah, you don't take meiser from peah. And therefore you're giving them untithed produce, you give them tevel. So he said, please give me back what was given to you, and I'll give you double. And he adds, let me show you any tzara. Don't think because I'm a cheap guy, that's what I'm trying to take away from you. Let me be clear. The Chum said, don't give peah from vegetables. And therefore this is causing an issue. I want to solve, I don't want to be over the Chumim. I don't want to take peah from the vegetables. Ask the Gemara, why does he have to add and stick in? Not because my eyes are stingy. He promised them to give double what they had. Obviously, he's not stingy. Says Gemara, Lomli Memra, Lehu, why do you have to tell them, Mesha Ain't Tzara? Why do you have to tell them, Lomli Mesha Ain't Tzara? Not because I'm stingy. What's the Hamina? Of course, his actions demonstrated by his promise of giving double. Isn't that clear? He's not stingy? The answer is, words are cheap. He says, leave what you have, I'll give you double. They could have been skeptical. You give double. Yeah, right. I'll be when I see it. So once he said no, he explains, I'm going to give you double. I'll explain to you why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because of the issue the Chum have, and that's why I'm doing this. So that's why you have to explain. It's not because I'm being cheap, but I'm trying to be worried about the words of the Chumim, so that will give them more confidence that he's not just stop playing a game to try to get them to give back the payah. Says Gemara, in order they shouldn't be concerned, he's just trying to be matrim, he wants them to put down the stuff, put down the payah, but he was going to then not replace it, not give it back, so he wants them to assure them and say, no, there's a reason behind what I'm doing. Once you understand the reason why I'm doing, you'll realize I'm telling you the truth, and I'll give you extra. Okay, that was the story. Now, Rashi over here, as we pointed out before, Rashi over here adds a new reason what the problem of payah, of taking peah on vegetables. Till now, Rashi is saying, and again, the words the Gemara just says, Chacham say, don't take peah on vegetables. And we brought a mission to back up why vegetables can be put from peah because they don't last, lakiyim, fine. But the problem, but what's the issue? So, give extra, what's the big deal? So till now, we explain like Rashi, that giving extra is a problem because meiser is mechuyev meiser when it's not peah. When it is peah, there's no chiyev meiser. If this is not real peah, but you treat it like peah, it's peah meiser, and you didn't give it. And therefore, what's the problem with that? So far, we focused on one problem. That's the problem of the ani having tevel. But there's a separate problem. There's a separate problem. You know what the separate problem is? The Levi is losing out some Meiser. The Levi is actually losing out Meiser. Besides for the Ani having Tevel, the Levi is losing Meiser. Rashi over here explains the second issue. That the Levi is going to be losing out his Meiser. That was the concern. Which is interesting. Marsha just points out. He makes a note. It's not a kasha. Both these things are true. Both these explanations of Rashi are true facts. If you're giving peah on something which is not mechuyev and peah, so you have both things. You're not taking the meiser, and therefore it's tevel, and you're also not giving the Levi the meiser that it needs. So both those facts are true. Just interesting that Rashi, in the beginning, focuses on the tevel issue, and now he's focused on the Levi losing out issue. We'll circle back to this in a second, because this is kasha for Tosfos. Some of the Chorin would answer based on a concept that relates to what Tosfos says. I don't really fully understand the Chorin's answer, but at least we'll bring out the Tosfos in a second. Before we get there, just to speak out, Chum Sefer is bothered. Why isn't there a simple etza? Why do you have to take back all the peah? Why don't you just offer to add the amount they need for the meiser? Meaning, if it's not real peah, that means it's just regular untithed produce. So let them add, let's say they had nine bushels of wheat. Let them add a tenth bushel in order for them to take meiser. Here's a tenth bushel. Let it be meiser, or let them take meiser. on that on behalf with the 10th bushel he has, take Meiser on what they took, and then give Meiser to Levi. What if to take back what they took and then give them new stuff and take Meiser separately? Why don't you just add Meiser, finish, much cheaper, way out, why don't you just add 10%? Very shtak akasha. Answers Chasam Sefer, very interesting. He was afraid that it would lead. Remember, Bayam, we spoke about, was apparently this not just generous, but a popular person. He was afraid it would lead to a minig tayas. People are going to think that the mechiyev is you take pay on vegetables if you want to be machmir, and you reach at least or a place like that. You want to be machmir, you take vegetables, you take pay on vegetables, and you have to add a tenth of maaser. It's not really the din. When you take vegetables and maaser, you got to make sure when you take pay on vegetables, you have to make sure you add the maaser because you're still mechiyev maaser. But there's no chiyev to do any of this. You don't want people to start thinking there's a chiyev to actually do this, lead to a minig tayas, and therefore he would rather pay the extra fee, so to speak, the kras, taking it back and just giving double and just appeasing them as opposed to setting up a perception of a minig tayas. That is a service explanation. He actually elaborates and says that even though we are in this perspective, if a person is being naik, things that are really mutter, they're naik isser, we don't change their minig. We don't tell them to stop what they're doing, even though they're not machlif to do what they're doing. We let it be because it could lead to other issues later on. You want to say that that's only when a minig's in existence, you don't change it. When there's a false conception, you don't fix it necessarily because it could lead to other kulas, other leniencies down the road. People think other obligations also don't stick. You could shirk those as well. That's right. That's Dharm HaMutarim V'Acherim Negim Emisser. But over here, says the Chasam Sefer, where it would be developing a minig tayis, if a person has the opportunity to stop a minig tayis from developing in the first place, of course he should do what it takes to stop it, and therefore it was worth for him to give double to just appease them without potentially setting up a minig tayis. That's number one. Number two is Chasam Sefer is a very interesting thing, almost more of a Rebbe Shavart, where we know the pasuk says aser to aser. Right, it says give meiser, double usher, stark lush, give meiser. We learn the Gemara tells us aser bishvil shetes asher, by giving meiser zeichet eschus to get ashiras, to be zeichet to make money, to get extra, to have wealth by giving meiser. So that he didn't want to take off meiser because it's ironic. He could have just taken off 10% taka like some of his eitza and not taking it all back and give him a replacement and give double. Just take meiser. He didn't want because he didn't want people to think that he was specifically just chopping the meiser on their produce also to chop the bracha of asher bishvil shetes asher. Very interesting. So instead, he took Meiser, the whole story, took it back from them, and then gave him fresh, double, in order it shouldn't be like he's taking Meiser on their stuff and chopping away their mitzvah of Meiser and their potential Hashimahs. Okay, interesting idea for Chasam Sefer. But getting back to Taisa, I referenced before, Taisa has the bomb gosh, top Taisa. If you jump inside top Taisa, Taisa has, understand, we know that Hefker is Pata for Meiser. Peya is also really, to an extent, Pata for Meiser. The problem over here is that this pay is not really paya, and if it's a problem. But it's no worse than hefker. When you choose to give pay on your own, as Yom Mechuyiv in it, essentially, you're making like a form of hefker. It's mamish, especially when Yom Mechuyiv in pay, it's not real paya. It's a form of hefker. If it's a form of hefker, why is that itself not exempted from Meiser? That itself should be the Ptur. This was a Yudari, Reb Leon, was Mechamz, this Taisa, this Kasha, in the morning, a very stark Kasha. So Taisa answers that there's machlekes beisham beisilul whether hefker to a certain sect, is that called hefker? If you make something hefker to the velt, that's hefker. What if you say it's hefker for aniyim? Only aniyim have rights to be kind of this. Ashirim don't have rights to be kind of, which you know, people sometimes do that. They want to make something available to aniyim. Is that a hefker or is that something different? Is that not mamish hefker? So it's machlekes beisham beisilul. Beishamay says that such a case would be called hefker, but Beis Hillel says that's not hefker because hefker has to be hefker both for aniyim and ashirim. This case is only peya, is only mitzvah for aniyim, not for ashirim, and therefore wouldn't be called proper hefker. Taisa goes on to explain maybe even Beis Shammai. I can give you an answer, but certainly in Beis Hillel already we have an answer. Why don't we bother that lechayr it's hefker and what is hefker? It's not chayv and peya because hefker for aniyim alone is not called hefker. The achronim want to use that. They won't come from Taisa itself, but they want to use this conversation about whether the story with Bayan and his son has to come out to some sort of hefker. They want to use that for the explanation back to what we started before, where Rashi switches and the Mishnah explains the issue. The Rabbanan say you don't take peya on vegetables is because it's going to end up being peya without meiser taking, which is untithed. It's tefillah by the ani. That's the problem. Over here, we're worried that's a problem of, it's a problem of the Levi losing out from his meiser. Not so much that it's tefillah by the aniim, more so the Levi losing out the meiser. That's what Rashi says over here. Why did Rashi switch? Rashi just points out that he switched. The question was, why did he switch? Some of them want to explain. Somehow, again, I don't have the story at Rice, but somehow in this story, with the father and son, it was coming out to hefker anyway, so the Levium anyway were going to lose their meiser. It was only an issue of Tevel, it wasn't an issue of Levi losing his meiser, because he would theoretically lose the meiser anyway. Something along those lines, again, has to be further clarified, but that's how some of the Chorinim want to explain the why Rashi switched Pshatim, explain the answer to the Bashas Diak. Okay, Zot Gemar Vayter. Tanaban. Bereshayna Menichan iris kachim bilishkas beis marva. Initially, they would put the iris, the hide of the skins. This is actually not going to change. They still put it in the lishkas beis marva in this chamber called the beis parva. Which, by the way, three machlekes in the Rishonim, at least three shitas, how it got the shame beis parva. So the simple taich Rashi Numa. In Yuma Daf Lamed Hey, Rafi Shrash says, because the person who was Mechashev, who thought about, who planned out the building of that chamber, his name was Parava. That was his name. So it was named after him. Pretty straightforward, pretty simple. Taz Yantu wants to say, then the biggest hides, I mean, the biggest animals that it hides, and the most common hides hanging in that place, were the hides of the cows. So Parav. Parav, Lashon Parav. Parava comes from there. Okay. The Taisvis, Rama Pish Pishas wants to say, the Parav was actually also named after the guy Parava, but for maybe a little bit less exciting, meaning not the way Rashi says, because he had the vision to build the chamber and he designed it or he donated it, whatever it may be, in Yuma, but rather Taisus and Rabbi Pishma, I learned there was a guy that had such a chief to see what goes on in the Avodah, the Beis Hamikdash. He was digging a tunnel underneath the Beis Hamikdash to reach the area by the Azara to be able to see the Azara, the Heichel, to see the Avodah from that spot. Lamaisi was caught. I think the story goes he was actually killed. He was caught and he was punished, but because of either as a reminder, the man Yishu Viro, for the other people to see, not to Chalil try to do such a thing. Therefore, they named the base Parav as a constant reminder of the fellow that was punished. Or you can go the other way, you can say the Shvach, even if he was punished, even if it wasn't a good idea. The fact that it's a Sheif is to go and see the Avaita, that itself is laudable to the extent that maybe that's why it was named after him. But either way, it was named after him based on that story, because he was tunneling his way. That's the point. He tunneled his way to that spot, and they built the chamber. Happens to be at that spot, so they named the chamber after him because that's where he was caught in that area. Okay, either way, there's this lishka where they used to line up all the hides, and the kohanim who were on that base, I have to remind ourselves, every week there was a different mishmar of kohanim, a different group, and in that mishmar every week there was different base av, different groups with smaller subsects within that group that had that vayda that day. So at the end of the day, the base av would divide up the hides. Problem is, some of the strong arm people in the base av would bully their way and take bigger portions. So they decided, I'm speaking out the Gemara outside first, we'll read inside. They decided, you know what, let's not divide every day, let's divide it every week. The whole mishmer gets together once you have more people, let's divide it every week. And like this, we can have protection from the bullies and we'll be divided more equal. We'll see that didn't work as well. Let's see. So the Erev Mechlag Noisam, Lach Beisav, and evenings they would divide it to the people of the Beisav. And the Balizroyas, the strong arm kind of would come and take the bigger portions, the better shares, with strength, they'd force their way in. His Kiddushim Mechlag Noisam, Erev Shabbos, Erev Shabbos. So they made a takana that no, instead of doing it every night, let's do it only Erev Shabbos once a week. Erev Shabbos, let the whole Mishmar get together. And the assumption was, I send Kulim Mishmar, Shakim Badal, you let the Mishmar come together, and there would be more protection from the bullies. But you know what happened? Vadayin, Hayu, yet still, Hayu Gdelakuna, Nadu Mesa Bezraya. The Gdelakuna, the kind of that were more chashiv, doesn't say we have bullies, has more high ranking, they would go, and by force again, still take better portions. So what did they do? Amdu Bailam, Vikdish Lishmayim. The Bailam got up, and they were Makdish Lishmayim, they were Makdish Dahaj Lishmayim. The Mefarshim discussed, who's the Bailam mean? Pasha the Bailam means the Kanim. The Kanim got up, and as a group, they decreed that all their hides are now, they're giving to Shemayim. We're going to see they made the base of English very rich. The value of these hides, of all these skins, made the base of English very wealthy. But some want to say it doesn't mean the Bailam, it doesn't mean Kanim, it means the Bailam of the Karbanas. The one that Makdish the Karban, normally hides, you go to Kanim, they were Makdish in a way that the hides were going to belong also to Hektish as well. Shaila, how they had the power. Okay. Even the Kohanim themselves had to have the power. Granted, the whole group got together and did it. But had the power, it's one thing to do it right now. But in the future, how do they have the power to Makdish something that didn't exist yet? These animals aren't Kaddish yet. The future animals had to have the power to do it. So the Maram Chalva once explained, it goes to the power of Leiv Bezen Masna. Leiv Bezen was Masna, that all animals, all Kachim, automatically this happened. They did it with the power of Bezen, kind of like a Hefker Bezen Hefker, like a Bezen power. And this is what should be an automatic system that every time an animal becomes Kaddish, the hides go to Shemayim. Look what happened, Amru. They said, it wasn't many days, it was shortly after that. The entire heichel was covered with golden plates. They were big golden plates, an amma by an amma, and they were thickness of a dinar zav. That's these big, beautiful, they had a lot of money. So they have to afford these big, beautiful golden plates that we'll see perfect. We'll see in a moment, they were perfect. They weren't just these large plates. They didn't have any imperfections in them. With the regular on Yom Tov, they would peel off the plates from wherever they were, from the ground, or from the walls, wherever they were, and they put them agabe mala barbayas. They put them on like the stairway going up to Arbayas that all the people should see. They show Eile Regalim, Ryan Shemalachta Na Ve'im Badelim. That the people, Eile Regal, who are coming by now, by the Yom Tovim, should see how beautiful the workmanship was on these beautiful gold plates, and that's how much gelt they had from these hides. Okay, says the Gemara, Tana, Abishol, amen. This also has to do with the idea of people being makdish something in order to avoid improper. So by the hides, the strong arm people are taken away, and the other people won't get a proper share. It just said, "Ah, let's be makdish the whole thing." So here we have another story of something similar idea. Tana Abishol Emer Kairishol Sikmahi Berichai and Yerichai. Again, back to Yerichai. There were these sycamore trunks of trees, and they strong arm people would just steal them. They would steal these sycamore trunks. They would steal them. So the people said, "You know what? If we're not going to protect from these ganav anyway, let us be makdash." Amdu b'ilam mikdash l'shmayim. The b'ilam went to makdash l'shmayim. I guess once it was makdash l'shmayim, the people were less apt to less likely to go steal it. Aleim al gitzim amr for these people and the guy by others that are like them. They were said as follows. Amar Abishol ben Banias b'shem Abiyas b'Chanan. Abishol ben Banias said, "Abiyas b'Chanan, I live in base bases. What was to me called the house of bases? These are going to be the house of different kunas of kohanim gedolim that strong arm and didn't treat hekdesh properly." And there's a similar idea of the people. It just relates to the people that. Also was strong arming and taking these sycamore trees, a strong arming taking these the hides. It's the same idea of people that were taking things that didn't belong to them, misappropriating. And it's woe is us for all these people. We know through a list of kohanim that did things that were not proper. Only based basis, it's one house. Only my lesson, woe is to me from there. Alasan Rashi's lesson has their sticks, their clubs, like their sticks that they use to force their way. Only based chanan, woe is us for the house of chanan, also house of kuna gaila. Only milchichashan was their whisperings. They used their whisperings. They used their being able to like to spread either rumors or messages or to get people in trouble based on their whisperings. Other based kasras, the house of kasras as well. Other milkamasan from their pens, the letters they used to write used to cause trouble. Other based shemam and pichai, and only from the house. Notice if you ever see the house of shemam pichai, the first one explains his house was terrible. He was actually a tzaddik. He was going on those tzaddik, but his house were terrible people. He just with the more later as mashmas as well. He stuck out separately from them. This is a discussion in the version where there were two kohanim gedolim with the same name. One was good, maybe one was bad, and if one was bad, that would be this whole house over here. It wouldn't just be his house; it would be him himself as well. But we're going to touch simple. His house was bad, but he was okay. And what was that from their fists? Shane Kargodam, all these people, Bises, Chanan, Karasres, Yishmael Ben Pichai, we'll get back to them later. I think we'll get back to them. These are all Kahanim that were Kahanim Gedalim, Uvinayim Gizbarim, they made their sons the treasurers, Vachasneim Amakalin, and they made their son in laws the kind of like the auditors, Vavdeim Chaitas Amamaklas, and their servants beat the people's sticks, so they were able to strong arm their way and make it like their own personal bank account, make all the base of English their own personal thing, which is terrible. That was the woe assess from these strong armed people. Now we know there was a time in history where Kahanim Gedalim bought their way in, they weren't necessarily upsetting citizens, and there's even a time period for many years. The Kohen Gadol lived only till Yom Kippur, and when they went to the five of them, because they weren't fit, they just bought their way in, they would die on Yom Kippur. And it's as amazing as it went on for years, and people didn't stop. The covet, the drua to be Kohen Gadol was so strong that they went in, even though maybe they redeemed themselves, they're better, then they're not evil, but people went in year after year, new Kohen Gadol, because the Kohen Gadol would die on Yom Kippur, and new people would buy their way in. Tanabon. Arba, now there's actually a diak over here. There's a small diak from the Marsha that the last Gemara says all these kind of gedolim, they have their servants hit the island with sticks. So Marsha's bother, why earlier in the first story by Bises, it spoke about the different kind of what their power was, a fist, whispering, letters. The first one Bises was alasin, and alasin we said, what does alasin mean? Alasin means clubs. Clubs, that's what Rashi learned. But what's the difference between clubs and maklas and sticks? So Marsha's bothered why we have two different, the Avdeim using sticks and the Kohen Gadol himself using sticks. Sounds like a repetition. It's okay if it's repetition. Why switch the words? Use the same words. And therefore Marsha wants to learn Alasin means he connects a beautiful shtickle Torah. He connects the Gemara in Saita, which discusses that certain people are not zeichet to become pnei shechina, not zeichet to be, won't be zeichet to Mabah. And he lists amongst the people that are Gasei Ruach, which all these people were for that, trying to be caught up with Gedolim, with Gasei Ruach, and that these different negative attributes, which are listed as these four different attributes listed in this Gemara, correspond the four attributes that are listed over there in Saita of people that are on Zeich and Lekam B'nei Shechina, and one of them was Alasin mean swearing falsely, false Shavuos. So Alasin can mean they're Shavuos. It means they're Shavuos. They use the power of Shavuos. So that's what Rashi learns over here means Shavuos, not the power of stick. So he connects it to that Gemara in Saita, and he has different types of Rashi in what Alasin means. A very nice mashah, if you want to see inside, a connection to that Gemara inside the Tanaban. There were four cries. The reason why this comes up is because, yeah, this is the Gemara I was referring to, of Rabbi Shmuel ben Bichai. The Gemara is going to relate to him. So there are four cries in the Azara that the Azara is going to cry out. One of them will relate to this Rishma ben Bechai. Let's see. Arba tzvachei tzavcha azara. The azara cries are four cries. Shushayin, the first cry was tzubi mekam ben Eli. First cry was of ben Eli should leave here. Shatimu hei Hashem, because they're matam ben Hashem. Let them ben Eli leave here, because matam hei Hashem. Rashi says, third line from the bottom of the page, Rashi says, what does it mean ben Eli matam hei Hashem? He quotes the pasuk in Shmu Aleph, ashe yishkivun esan Hashem. Because they lie with women, near the base Hashem. Rashi just quotes the pasuk simple at face value. If you remember a little chazara, the Gemara in Shabbos, we spoke out, Gemara Shabbos tells us that they didn't chalila commit the crime of whatever crime of Arias or whatever is nus, and it sounds like they're doing by Beis Hashem, near Beis Hashem. No, it means they were late, delayed in bringing the karbanas, the kinim, the birds for Yoledas. In order for the Yoledas to become tar, to come back to regular status, she has to ultimately have the birds, have the set of birds that were brought on her behalf, and they weren't so makra to get at all the birds every day in its time, and therefore it led to a delay of women being fully mutter, fully tar, and whatnot, and therefore it's malel love, as if they were living with nashim, with the women, by the base of Migdash. It was really just a reference, it's a roundabout reference, it's a derogatory way of referring to the fact that they delayed the nashim that came to be karbanas. They were a little bit delayed in their kingdom. That's all it means. If it sounds similar to like by Reuven, the person Reuven slept. He slept with the wife of his father Yaakov. And the first said, "Avad the Chas Hashem," didn't mean he lived with his wife, with his father's wife. It just means that he moved the bed of his father, and it was malo lo hakasav. It's considered his level of Reuven for moving the bed of his father, as if he lied with his father's plegish, but not that he actually lived with his father's plegish, a similar type of idea. And the first Rashi pointed out, it's funny that Rashi just quotes the pasuk as is, so the Be'er Sheva points out that sounds like Rashi is learning it means over here literal, for some reason, over here means literal, whereas the Erchlin and the Mashiach said, no, Rashi about this maskim, Rashi knows the Gemara and Shabbos, Rashi is quoting the pasuk chose to describe it that way, as even though it catches the ear, it sounds very extreme, it just means that they delayed in bringing the carbon. It doesn't mean more than Rashi is quoting the pasuk which describes the Timu Heichal Hashem, but it doesn't mean in Echrami that they actually lied with those women there. Okay, that is the Chari of the Taich. That's right. So he did correct. He did get punished for it. That's correct. And the brachas in a couple weeks of Vayichi, right? So the first Gemara, the first crying out that was saying that took place in Azara was Bnei Eli Shaliv. Next, Savcha, we have four crying out. Second crying out is the one that we needed. Same account, Yisachar ish kfar barakoi. Yisachar from barakoi should leave. Shem machabit is atzma b'chal shem kachesh mayim. He's machabit atzmai and b'chal kachesh mayim. So the truth is, again, Tzad is a kain gadol, and he didn't act properly, so this would fit to say, like the Tzad, I think maybe not what I said before, that he himself was not so good either. Meaning, we had a Tzad before that there was one that his family is no good, but he was good. Or there's a tzad that there are two people with the same name. One was good, one wasn't. This one would seem to indicate he wasn't so good. Look what he did. He's mechabim himself and not the base of Middash. You know why? He didn't want to put his hands directly on the kelim and do the avodah. He'd wrap his hand with like a cloth, with silk, and then do the avodah. Now Rashi explains that there's two issues with that. First of all, it's a chitza. He has to do, it says the lakach hakayin. The kohen should take, right? He's taking his hand. Lakach hakayin, that means taking directly without an interposition, without a chitza, number one. Number two, it's also a little bit of a bezayin. Because by showing that he doesn't want to touch it directly, it's like beneath him is bezayin. That's degrading factish when someone doesn't want to touch directly. So it's a double whammy, and that's why we're going to see he suffered actually a terrible fate, a terrible punishment, which again, let me go back. I know I'm going back and forth over here. The terrible fate that he suffered would actually indicate that he wasn't a Russia necessarily. He was a tzaddik, because Gemara is going to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took payment from him in this world in order to clean his slate for the next world. That's something we typically say about tzaddikim. So you can get that tzaddik rally. Tzaddik rally is to get a punishment in this world to be clean for the next world. So it would say that would actually indicate that maybe he himself, Taka, was good, and it was only his bias that wasn't good. So I am going back and forth on those tzaddim. Okay. The Mefarshim actually asks again, Be'er Sheva asks, Rashi says that the issue is that he covered his hand with silk, so it's a chatzitza, number one. And number two, that it looks like a bezayin, he doesn't want to touch the hakdash directly as a bezayin. What about number three? Yiter begadim. We've spoken now in the past that a kayin had four begadim, eight begadim. But the point is, they don't wear, even if they wear like a band-aid, a bandage around their finger that's extra, that's not needed, it could be considered yiter begadim. Wrapping around this hand should certainly be considered yiter, extra begad. Extra begad is a major psalm. Why did Rashi list that as a problem as well? Shtark Akasha from the Be'er Sheva answered the Be'er Sheva himself. Beautiful chav. Manavshach. Once it's a chatzitza, it's not an avoida. Once it's not an avoida, it's not a problem with extra begadim. Extra begadim is a problem when I'm doing an avoida. So if I'm doing an avoida and I have extra begadim, it passes the avoida. If it's a chatzitza, it's not extra begadim by an avoida. Right? Manavshach. So you're not gonna have both at the same time. Either it's extra begadim, or it's a chatzitza. But you won't have both issues, and therefore Rashi didn't list that issue. Okay. Says more further. Says Gemara, We'll get back to this conversation about gloves. It's relevant to Chamaisa, different things as well. We'll get back to it once we, let's just finish the parak first. I'm sorry?
Just become pigle then also, maybe?
Pigle? What chakras pigle? Well, let's hold off. Sorry. So, Vaitzafra, we have to get to other crying still. There's still other crying here. Vaitzafra Zara, Susha Mashaychan, Mikanis Shemov, and Pichai, Tamisha Binchas. Sorry, I mixed up. I skipped. It's Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Koi. Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Koi was the one that covered his hand with the cloth that we were talking before about Yishmael Ben Pichai. That's the next Gemara. Vaitzafra Azara, the Azara, cried out that Sushar Meshechem and let come in Yishmael ben Bechai Tamisha Binchas. Let him come in and let him do the Avaida. That sounds very positive about Yishmael ben Bechai. So that fits again with that Shita that Yishmael ben Bechai was good, even though people of his house was bad, fits very well to say he was good. That's what Rashi explains over here. He himself was good. The people of his house were bad. He himself is good. That's what we were referring to before. Again, I mixed it up in the Gemara. That's Yishmael ben Bechai, not the last Gemara. Last Gemara with the hand being covered, leave it out. It's irrelevant. It's a different person totally. That's Yisachar Ishbar Far Bar Koi. Okay. And lastly, the fourth crying out was Aitzachar Azara Sushar Meshechem Vikanis Yechonam Ben Narbay Tamidah Shabikai. Let Yechonam Ben Narbay, the Talmud of Mikai, let him come in, Vimala Kreis Mikai Shemayim, and let him fill his stomach with the Kreis Shemayim. We'll see. It sounds like he ate a lot, but we'll see in a minute. We'll explain. He used to feed a lot of poor Kohanim. Amar Lava Yechem Ben Abai said about him, Sheichel Shoshmeis Agolim, he could eat in one sitting 300 calves, Sheichel Shoshmeis Garbiayin, and drink 300 kegs of wine, Veichel Abam Sa, and he can eat for dessert 40 sa of gezelis, because Nechsuda obviously did a guzmas and also that himself eating it. Amr, they said, because everything was eaten. The way they explained it is that he had used to the people that got him that were poor was relying on him. They'd come to him and he would make sure to supply them all with food. So, especially all the extra kachim was always eaten. There was everything left over because he would supply them all with it, and therefore he was able to arrange that there was never any nicer. Now, who is this Yikanis Ben Narbay? Talmidah Shem Pinkai. Who is this Talmidah Shem Pinkai? The first book explained that we're not sure, not clear who this Ben Pinkai is. Some want to say that this Yechanan is Yechanan Gadol, who was a Kohen Gadol for 80 years, who actually Nebuch became a Stuki, Al Tam Hatzvah Al Yamischa, became a Stuki after 80 years being Kohen Gadol. Unbelievable. So that's why we're calling him Yosef Ben Arbay. So he had 80 very good years till that story, and this is one of the good things that he was doing. Okay. My Salka baby, Sachar Ish Kfar Bakari. What was the story with Yisachar Ish Kfar Bakari? Again, I confused it before. That's not the Kohen Gadol that we're talking about, Yishmael ben Bechai, who he said himself is good as bias was no good. This is Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Koi. He's the one that covered his hand with he gloved his hand with silk when he did Avodah. What happened to him? I'll tell you the story. Army Malcolm Akasav Yastri, the queen and king of the Chashmonaim, was sitting. Malcolm Yam Gdeyai, the king was saying that the baby goat's meat is best. Malcolm Yam Imriyai, the queen was saying that the lamb's meat is best. So after they debated, they said, who's going to be able to prove the answer? The Kohen Gadol who eats carbonus every day, he could tell us the answer because he eats all types of carbonus. He knows all different types of meat. Asiyu, so Yisachar ben Bakai came in, tap on base, achvi biyadei igadei yasek l'tmida, so he made like a hand motion, he backhanded the gesture. He said, what's the shayla? If gadei is better, then that should be the tamid. And the tamid every day is brought from the lambs, not from the goats. It's a raya that the gadei is not better. So they got very insulted with his backhand. Amar Malka, havle havi imsed malchusa, since he had no fear of the malchus, nifsiku lumine, let's cut off his hand. This is the hand they used to cover when he did the Avodah with. Yav Sheikha Piskei Smiley. So Yisachar gave a bribe to the king's servant, and the servant went and cut off his left hand instead of the right hand because he wanted to keep his right hand. What happened, Nebuch? The king heard Shama Malka. He heard with the bribe and what happened. Upaski Mine. He ended up cutting his right off hand as well, so he ended up losing Nebuch both of his hands. Amar Yosef, Brich Rachman Yosef said, praiseworthy Kosh Baruch Hu, Da'ashkei Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Koi, Lemitrafe, Batmina Bahai Alma. He got punished in this world to have a clean slate in the next world. This is what I was referring to before. But again, I refer to it with the wrong person, but this is what I was referring to about. Again, this fellow, even though he covered his hand, he overall was not a bad person, and therefore he was zeicha to have a kapara in this world and not need it in the next world. Amar Vashi, the Marz Rabina from a Mishnah and a basic pasuk, how he made a mistake with his covering his hand. Oh, how he makes actually with the saying the gedi is for sure better than the lamb. He's saying gedi is better than the lamb. It's not, I'm sorry, or the lamb is better than gedi. His raya is not such a good raya. He brought a raya for the Tamid. Yisachar ish karek barkai leitana mesis, and he obviously, Rabbi Ash said he's missing in the Mishnah. Why? It's not because he's learned in a Mishnah, there's a Mishnah in Krisis. Rabbi Shimon Ayimer, kvasim kaidin le izim b'chomakam. Kvasim always come in the Pesukim before izim. Yagam eishim v'char minan. You would think it's because that they're better. Tamalayim revim keves yavi kabanai. Pesachim keves yavi kabanai. Malam mishneim shkulim teaches us that they sometimes put this one first, sometimes that one first to teach you. They're both equal. Don't tell me Gedi is worse than, and keves is better. Ravina amar, afil mikronami lekaretz. It's a pasuk. You don't have to come at the Mishnah. It's a pasuk. The siv in kevish and maize. You have a choice between a kevish or an aze. Ibai kevish laisi, ibai aze laisi. If you want, you can choice. You can bring the kevish. If you want, you can bring the aze. We see very clearly you have a choice which carb you want to bring, but it doesn't seem to indicate that anyone's better than the other, and therefore it's a clear raya. It's a clear raya that they're both equal. So he made a mistake. Not only was it disrespectful in his gesture, and that's why he got punished for it. Kosh Baruch Hu caused him to be disrespectful and get punished. But Lamaisi was mistaken in his psak also, in his answer also. The bottom line is that it's all a punishment for covering his hand when he did avoda on the top of covering one's hand. So the first we discussed with different mitzvahs also. Can you cover your hand when you do the mitzvah? Or not? Is there a mitzvah to touch the mitzvah? As Gemara even discusses about wrapping the lulav with something. So there's big discussions. But some of the chayim want to bring a raya from Gemara. They say even though it's not a raya ladaver, zeich ladaver. That better to touch a mitzvah with one's hand directly and not use a glove, based on the story from Rabbi Sacher Ish Bar Kai. But furthermore, the discussion about davening with gloves, some of the Chorin want to say davening with gloves is not bakavidik. You don't stand in front of the king with gloves on. And it's very relevant, especially for us in Toronto, who have davening outside now in the cold because of the, obviously because of the shuls, because of the pandemic. But the davening with gloves, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says that when someone's davening with gloves, clearly because of temperature, because of cold, that wouldn't be considered bezayin at all, and that would be perfectly mutter. Davening stam is with gloves on for whatever reason. When you're not, if it's not for a specific clear purpose, that could be lack of covet. But davening again, you're not even touching any mitzvah really, touching the siddur, how much are you touching? But davening with gloves is brought down as problematic. Rabbi Shlomo Zalman says, but when you're doing it for cold, of temperature, and it's clear you're cold, not going to be an issue. We'll pick up from here with Shem tomorrow night. Kol tov, all the best.